Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Speak the Word broadcast this morning. I am your host, Prophet Jacqueline Price, and you guys, I am delighted, I'm elated to be with you this morning, to share the good news of Jesus, to let you know Father loves you. He has this amazing plan for your life. You've got to get excited about it. You got to get so excited that you tell somebody that Speak the Word is on the air. I want you to get so excited that you got to say, you know what? I got to listen to this lady. I got to see what she's saying because I need my spirit man fed. That's right. Come on in. Join us this morning for Speak the Word broadcast. I am your host, Prophetess Jacqueline Price. Thank you on Periscope for tuning in. Thank you on Blog Talk Radio for tuning in. Yes, there is a word for you this morning. Yes, there's a word of promise for you this morning. You just got to come in. Tell somebody about it. Come on in so you can be enriched by the Father, enriched by what he has for you. Amen. Well, today I am beyond excited because I want to, first of all, invite you to a place of worship church. We're located in DeSoto, Texas, in the heart of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I want to invite you, hallelujah, come and be our guest. The address is 1704 Northampton Road, Suite 208 in DeSoto, Texas. The phone number is 972-224-0788. You don't want to miss being a part of this awesome, blessed experience that we have at the church. I'm telling you, God is moving. He's moving by his might and by his power. Now, don't forget to go to the website, jlpministries.org. That's jlpministry.org. And you will find out about the upcoming conference that's going to be May the 30th at a place of worship church. You don't want to miss this conference. I've got people who are telling me how excited they are about the conference. They're just ready. One lady told me, she said, I wish it was this month because I'm just ready to get there. Hallelujah. So you've got to be happy and excited about getting there. Look, there's no registration. All you have to do is show up. No registration, just show up because Father has a word and he's going to be ministering to his people. The prophetic is going to be flowing. You just have to be there. Go to the website to find out more information. Now, today, I want to talk to you. I'm going to be in the book of Acts. I'm going to be in Acts, the fourth chapter and the fifth chapter. And I have a question for you. Is it God or man? What's your decision? Are you going to obey God or are you going to obey man? What is your decision? Hallelujah. And we're getting this from the book of Acts, looking at the fourth chapter. And when we look at this fourth chapter, the power of God has fallen and the apostles are now filled with the Holy Spirit and they're going about doing the work of the Lord and God is moving. Jesus is healing. He's through the mighty power of Jesus' name. They're healing people and they're being restored. And it's just been an amazing thing going on in this Acts, the fourth chapter. So now we have Peter here and Peter is, he has just been ministering, and now they find themselves, Peter and John, in this chapter, they find themselves in prison, and they're in prison because they've made a stance. And my question to you, is it God or man? Who are you going to obey? What's your decision in this matter? Is it going to be God or is it going to be man? Hallelujah. Because let me show you in Scripture where they talk about what their decision. Their decision is we're going to obey God in the fifth chapter. Because what man can, I love what the Bible says, and I believe it's in Proverbs or Psalms, I will not fear what man shall bring to me because my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. When you get determined that I'm going to trust in what Father has for me more than what man say they can do for me, because sometimes man can lie and they're not going to do nothing for you, amen? But I'd rather obey God. So let's look at this. The Bible says in this chapter, it says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So we have the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're mad because of the fact that they're mad because Jesus, they're preaching Jesus, they're preaching his resurrection, and we have these men who are upset over the preaching of the resurrection. And the Bible says, and they laid hands on them and put hold on them, and the next day they were in prison. They were in prison. But what happens is, oh, I love this so much, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord, what? Open up the doors. I'm in the fourth chapter of Acts. It says the angel of the Lord came and they told him, look, go and preach. Keep preaching. Keep preaching. Go in the center of the city and preach. Hallelujah. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people, elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed, he's talking about healing this man, if we be examined of the good deed that we did by healing this 40-year-old man who was sick and made him whole through Jesus, he says, it's not me, it's not us, it's by the power of Jesus. So why y'all mad at us because Jesus made the man whole? Hallelujah. Why are people mad at you because you're doing the things that God told you to do? Why are they mad at you because you're being obedient to what God said? I'd rather do God than choose what man has for me. My decision is I'm going to be obedient to what God says. Man, the Bible says, we know man can't put us in heaven, man can't put us in hell, so why don't we just be obedient to God and follow him? So they're upset because of the fact these men are preaching Jesus. Well, y'all crucified him. What you mad about? And see, sometimes people, oh, come on, Holy Spirit. Sometimes people get mad because you're calling them on the things that they've done, and you're just revealing truth, and God's just using you to reveal truth. Why are you getting mad at me with God just revealing truth? Why are you getting mad at me because God is just saying, I want to help you in an area? God is just using them to reveal truth. The truth of the matter, you Pharisees and Sadducees, y'all were mad because Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God. Y'all were mad because he was saying, I'm the Son of God, and y'all crucified him. Now, why y'all mad at us? Because we're his disciples, and he told us to go about in the highways and hedges and to compel men to come to him. Why are you mad at us? They're mad at the fact that they're being shown themselves. They're mad at the fact that we got to see and be reminded of what we did. And sometimes people see you and they want to just tear you down, and because you're not torn down and God has just raised you up even greater, they mad. So here we have it here. They're mad. Look at what they say. Be it known unto you, this is the disciples talking, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ, I'm in the 10th verse of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. He said, it's not us. But I love Peter. He gives that little dig. Look, y'all crucified him. So what you mad at me for? Whom you crucified. But look what he says, but whom God raised from the dead, FYI, hallelujah. He says, why are y'all mad at us? Because we're just using exercising the power. I want to say something to you that are tuning in this morning. Are you exercising the power that God has given you? Are you exercising the power that God has placed in you? Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit was not just for you to speak in tongues, baby. The Holy Spirit came with power. And you've got to exercise the power that God has put in you. You know, when I was ministering some years ago, I was out of in Louisiana, I believe it was, and this lady came to me and she said, I want you to pray for me. And I said, okay, what is it you want me to agree with you with? She said, I want you to believe and pray for me that God will give me boldness. And many times, God has poured it in us, but we're drawing back when God says, move forward. I'm drawing back when God says, no, I'm with you, move forward. So we have Peter and John, they're bold in moving forward and saying what God has given them to say in spite of what man may say. See, we're living in a time where People are afraid to really speak of the name of Jesus. They're afraid to be bold about him. They're afraid because I don't want to offend anybody. Well, I'm going to show you some stuff in the Word in a minute. I don't want to offend anybody. But Jesus made this statement. He said, I've come to bring an offense. Hallelujah. But we don't want to be offending people. And what I find is this. Then we miss nurturing somebody. We miss loving on somebody. And because I don't want to mess with their whatever they got going on. I don't want to mess with their soulish, fleshly area. I don't want to touch those things. So I don't want to say anything. Now, my thing is this. If Father is giving you a word to share with someone, if Father's told you to go to that person and minister to that person and say something to that person, why are you being hesitant in what he said? Someone, this lady said, pray for boldness. So say, okay, let's pray. I agree with her that God will give a boldness. Many times you want boldness, and God says he gives you this test to do. Now go and do such and such. But what do you do? Oh, I don't want to say nothing. I don't know if that's God. Now, but the other day you were talking to your girlfriend, your whomever. See, we can talk to friends on the phone, and we can preach to them on the phone, but when it comes down to being on the forefront, when God says, I want to use you to go and speak to somebody on your job, or use you to speak to someone in the grocery store, oh, I don't know if that was God talking to me or not. Really? But you're having a problem with him and talking to you when you're on the phone with your friend, you're just preaching away. You need some boldness, baby. You need some boldness. And you got to not worry about, okay, well, is this the appropriate time? Let me tell you something. When Father tells you to do something, don't you know the precious Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, he's going to give you the wisdom on how to do the thing? He's not going to just go do it. He's going to give you wisdom. If you ask, okay, now, Father, you've told me to go and minister to this person, go and pray for this person, or go share this word with this person. Now, how do you want me to do it? I got to tell you another story. I was in the grocery store, this is a couple of years ago, and I'm walking down this aisle, and this lady and I are the only two people on this aisle. And the lady, I could see there was something going on with her legs, and I'm just doing my grocery shopping, and I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, pray for her. Now, I'm using wisdom. I look further down the aisle, making sure it's just me and her. And I said to her, do you mind if I pray for you? Why? Because I don't want her to be uncomfortable, and I wasn't want to, you know, I don't want to bring, you know, draw any attention to her because I could see that in her spirit. So she said, oh, no. And I just politely laid my hands on her knees and prayed for her. See, I'm using wisdom. I'm using wisdom. Nobody was coming down the aisles. I'm checking because I'm checking for her, not for me. I don't have no problem being bold, baby. So there are ways that Father will give us how to do things, but we got to be willing to ask him. I'm still talking about God, a man. What's your decision? I'm talking about you when he tells you to do something, be obedient. Paul and Peter and John, brother, were willing to be obedient to God rather than to deal with what the Pharisees and the priests and the Sadducees and all these other folk were talking about. Because they make a statement here. It's not us making them whole. This is not us doing it. Neither is salvation. I love this part. It's not us. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders. This is about Jesus Christ himself, which is become the head of the cornerstone. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So there's your answer to whether, you know, how to be about being witnesses. There's your answer. There's no other way to be saved but through Jesus Christ, okay? So if you have somebody out, the Bible tells us not to be doing a bunch of, you know, rattling up, debating and debating, but you got to stand for what you believe now. But if you need something to show in the Word of God, hey, I need to be able to affirm, really defend and declare and affirm what I believe. Well, here you go, baby, in the fourth chapter of Acts, the 12th verse. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other salvation but in Jesus. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only way we can be saved is by Jesus, okay? So there you have it. There's your tool that you can use in witnessing. When somebody says, oh, there are many roads to heaven. No. Now, there's a highway and there's a way. All right? There's a straight and the narrow. Now, you got to choose which way you're going to take. But there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, baby. Oh, don't believe it. Don't believe that foolishness. There's only one way, okay? Now, who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to obey? God or man? What's your decision? What's your choice? Come on up in here. Let me show you something else because I want us to get this morning. So here we have, I'm going to the fifth chapter, Peter and John. Peter and John. And the power of God is moving so sweetly because now, as you go into the fifth chapter, they're all with one accord in the book of Acts. People are giving to one another, bringing all of what they have, selling and bringing it and making it to one collective. Hallelujah. And the men are dispersing it as needed. Read the fifth chapter of Acts. Hallelujah. Then you have that person who wants to be the show. Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Spirit. Boy, if we had that, if the Holy Spirit would knock some folks dead today, I tell you, people would get right. But we have the Holy Spirit. Back then, look what happened. They reverenced God. We don't have people reverencing Father like we should. We got Jesus is my homie. He's my boy. No, he's not. He's the savior of the world. He's the savior of the world. And he's the one that saved us from our sins. So you try to put him in a small category and try to put him. No, he's not your homie. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. What's wrong with you? He's the deliverer of your soul. Well, you know, I'm just saying, I want to just kind of bring it down to us so people can understand. People understand Jesus is the Savior. People heard about Jesus. Some heard that he's a good prophet. People heard about, you don't have to try to make, well, you're not trying to make them what the kids can understand. Kids understand. We do too much. We just do too much. And then what we want to do? We want to categorize it as, I'm reaching the lost. You don't have to do that. No, if you tell them, look, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He's the one that loves you. He's the one that wants to set you free. They can wrap their minds around that. Don't diminish Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, thinking you're putting on a smaller scale to try to help people. No. I remember him telling me these very words. I will not lower my standard for anybody. So what's wrong with you? Let's look at this. So here we have it. The men have said, look, in that 19th verse of the fourth chapter, we would rather obey God than man. The 19th chapter. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God or to hearken unto you than unto God, God judge. Okay? We're not going to do it. Or whether it's right for us to hearken unto God, unto you, unto God, he says, no, we're not going to do it. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Why aren't we, as a body of believers, speaking the things that we're reading and studying in this word of God? Why are we speaking the things that we've heard of what Jesus Christ has told us? See, sometimes fathers minister the word to you personally. You've had a personal relationship with him, and you are still not speaking the things that he's spoken to you. Well, you know, I'm just waiting on him to really, really tell me what my ministry is. Your ministry is to witness to others. That's the ministry. Now, if he's pulling you into the fivefold ministry or make, you know, that's a different story. But yet and still, you still called to reach the lost. What's wrong with people? We got to have these big platforms before we go out and witness to people. And God says, no, I want you to go out and compel men and women to come to me. Hallelujah. I'm always on the, I can be out and about, but I'm always looking for somebody to witness to. I'm always looking for somebody I can share the message of Jesus Christ with. I'm always looking because I'm always, I want to listen to him, to hear what he has to say, to reach a soul. Oh, I want to show you so much in this. When will it become, when will we become more concerned for others than we do ourselves? That's the question. When will we become concerned more for others than we do ourselves? Well, you know, when God blesses me, I'm going to do this. When God does this in my life, I'm going to do that. Well, when will you just do what he wants you to do and the blessings going to be coming to you? All these other things shall be added unto you. When you what? When you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. That's word. But when you start doing the things that please God, is it God or is it man? What's your decision? What are you going to do? Are you going to reach a soul for him? Are you going to reach a lost one for him and say, well, you know what? I'm just waiting on my blessing. You know, I'm waiting on my blessing. My, when my blessing comes, girl, you just wait what I'm going to do for God. Why not now? Why not now? Because some of y'all ain't going to do nothing when that blessing comes, but sit and say again, well, I'm waiting on that next blessing. Really? You're going to keep waiting on blessings. But sometimes God says, you know, why not just start doing it now? I'm saying, why not start doing it now? Look at this. So they rather do the things that please God. It says, for we cannot but speak. I can't but speak about the things which I have seen and heard. I can't but speak about the, what Jesus Christ has done in my life. I can't but speak about what he's told me in my own personal relationship and experience with him. I can't help but speak about the miracles and signs and wonders I've seen him do. Honey, I got to speak those things. But we don't want to. Some of us, why, like that lady, I need boldness. Some of us do need boldness. Give me boldness. I was reading about the disciples and how they were bold in the things that they did. They were bold. They weren't fearful of their lives because the Bible says they didn't count their lives. We count our lives. We're so concerned with, I don't know, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. You got to be more concerned about what God is telling you to do in this day and age. We got to reach souls, you guys. We got to reach those lost and hurting, wounded and broken. When are we going to reach these people? We're so busy, concerned about our little world. I said it last week, I believe it was, but we got to do better. Look at this. I got to go further. This is just so good. I hope you're enjoying this word this morning, but I want to show you something here. And when Paul and when Peter and John were ministering and sharing the word of God, the Bible lets us know when it says in the fourth verse, while it remained, it was not thine own. They were talking about Ananias and Sapphira when they had that, they were coming in and here we are, here's what we have, and we're going to give it to the church. Oh, I can preach on that one again. Oh, my Jesus. I might as well touch on it. Why not? Why not? Why not? Ananias and Sapphira, they were all a part. They want to be a part of the giving because everybody's giving. Everybody's giving. So they want to be a part of the mix. You know how it is when people want to be a part of the mix? Back in the day, they used to do pledging. Ooh, I'm a pledge. I'm a pledge. Ooh, I'm a pledge this. I'm a pledge that. I didn't believe in that. I didn't believe in pledging because the Bible says you make a vow. Be careful how you make a vow unto God. If you're making that vow, you make sure you keep that vow. So just because somebody else say, you know, I'm a pledge this, I'm pledge this. No, because I don't believe in playing around with God. And if I'm making a vow to him, I'm going to keep that vow. If I say I'm going to give something, I'm going to give it. Hallelujah. Don't get caught up in the hype that there's nothing wrong with giving. There's nothing wrong with saying, I'm going to share this. I'm going to share. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get but. Watch how you commit yourself. So here we have Ananias and Sapphira. They're so, we're going to do this. But they scheme in the giving. Let me read this. But a certain man named Ananias and with wife Sapphira sold a possession. They sold their own possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. See, this is back in the day when Father was suing folk. Okay? But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? He didn't lie to Peter. He lied to the Holy Ghost. Thank God for mercy. Thank God. You better thank you for mercy. He lied to the Holy Ghost and kept back part of the price of the land. It was their land. But look at this. While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own hand? What is Paul saying, Peter saying right here? You had it in your possession. You had that money in your possession. First of all, you had your own land. You made a decision to sell your land. But the issue was you lying to the Holy Ghost because you what you purposed in your heart to give, you changed your mind on it. Look at this. While it remained in thine own possession, after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast lied. Look at what it says. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So they lied. I can just see it right now. Girl, look, this is what we're going to do, honey. You know, we want to be a part of the mix. We want to make sure. We want to act like we all want to be in this giving thing. So this is what we're going to do, baby. We're going to sell this land. But I'm not going to give all that money. I'm not going to give all this money to the church. I am not going to do it, baby. We're going to give them probably about 20%, and we're going to keep the 50. But we ain't going to give all this money to this church. No, we have to do it, honey. We ain't bringing all that money in there. No. So here they go. Wifey right there. Husband said, we ain't going to do it. Wife, oh, well, okay, if you think that's best, baby, we're going to do that. Okay, here they go. Coming for the man of God. Oh, here we go. Having here my money. Here money for the land. Holy Spirit said, no, they ain't all of it. They holding back that money, baby. They ain't all of that. Peter said, okay, well, now, let's see what you got going on, honey. Now, Ananias, Satan done fooled you. Because he says, but Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? The joking and made you lie. Why are you lying? Why are you just sitting up and just lying, Ananias? We don't have no problem with you giving to this church. We have no problem with you giving with the collective. We have no problem whatever you had, that was your decision to give. But you done purpose in your heart, and you just lied. And you didn't lie to me. You lied to God. So what ends up happening? He drops dead right then and there. Boy, boy, boy. What if some folks drop dead in church for lying? I'm still talking about God, a man. It was his to give. But he made a foolish decision. And what happened? The little chick comes along. Read it on down a couple of verses. The Bible says, and shortly, a couple of hours later, here comes his wife, Sapphira. And Paul, Peter asked him now, he said, now, did you not sell? How much you sold that land for? I want to read this. I got to find it right quick, you guys. I tell you, God is amazing. Hallelujah. It says, and then, in the ninth verse, then Peter said unto her, talking about the wife, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Why are you going to lie? That's why you got to thank God for mercy and grace, because some people sit in the church and straight lie. God said, I don't know why Father has shifted me to this, but anyway, I'm going where the Holy Spirit leads me. I gave my 10%. Oh, you did? How much you make? But we write this right there and just lie to the Holy Spirit. You don't know. Let me tell you something. God wants us to sow freely. You got to be willing to sow freely. I'm still talking about a lot of things. I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit said, now go there, I'm going there. You got to be willing to sow freely in your local assembly. Thank you for Blog Talk Radio listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. Catch the rest of it on Periscope. You've got to be willing to sow freely. That's why people get mad. Well, these preachers, it ain't the preachers, it's your heart. It's your heart. Stop getting mad at the preacher when it's your heart. Don't blame the preacher for you wanting to keep your money. When look what Ananias and Sapphira had an opportunity to do. Keep it. It's yours. But when you purpose to give it to Abba, that's when you got to come on. Come on. Don't do him like that. And then you're going to get mad and want to blame the preacher for your foolishness. No, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied. It's what God is saying. It's yours to do whatever you want to with. Do it, but I still require my 10%. And if you choose not to give me my 10%, hey, don't mess with me. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me because I came to rebuke the divine for your sake. Why? Because you are robbing me. Shall a man rob God? Malachi 3:10. How shall you rob me with your tithes and your offerings? I don't know why Father sent me here, but here I am. And then you get mad with Jehovah for your blessings not manifesting. Well, you done robbed him, Ananias and Sapphira. Y'all just done robbed him up. Hallelujah. But then you want heaven to rain down on me. Y'all know we sing that song, rain on me, rain on me. We used to sing it. We want heaven to rain. And God said, but you want to rob me. And that's what they were really doing. And that's why Peter called them on that. And you know what happened? Look what the Bible says. Because of that, it says fear fell. Great fear came upon all the church. Boy, that's why I said we had some folks dropping like flies. People would live right today. Fear fell upon all the church. All the church. There was reverential fear. We got to reverence the church. We don't have that today anymore. We don't have a reverence of the church anymore. That's why people can get up and curse the preacher out and don't think nothing of it. You go, Holy Spirit. That's why the people can get up and act and clown on the pastor, because sometimes the pastor, he's not standing up and doing what he should do. But man or woman of God may not be living like they should be living. But still, if God has put them in that position and you decide to take your hips and sit up under that position, then the Bible says you've got to give honor to whom honor is due. And let me deal with this. If you don't want to be up under somebody who's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, then that's between you and Jehovah to say, God, lead me and direct me to a better place. Come on up in here now. Do not blame Father for some stuff that you do. All right? So here we have them going back now to obeying God and man. I love what Peter did. He called out Ananias and Sapphira. He called out the Sadducees and the council. He called these people out because, look, we're not going to go against what God is instructing us to do. We're not going to go against what he's told us to do, which declare the word of God. We're not going to go against that. And because they didn't go against what God said and obeyed him rather than man, the Bible says how much the church grew. How the church of Jesus Christ grew because of their willingness to be obedient to God. Hallelujah. So let me go further in this. So while it remained, it was theirs. But let's jump down to the 11th verse, actually 12. And by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Look at this. They were all with one accord. Don't you wish the church would get with one accord again? Don't you wish the church would stop bickering among itself as body of believers? Don't you wish that foolishness would stop? There's no big eyes or little use, baby. As I said many times, hallelujah, ain't nobody great but God. That's what a friend of mine used to say, ain't nobody great but God. So why is everybody trying to be this great something when we're all a part of the collective body of Jesus Christ? He says, there are many members, yet one body. When will we stop acting like we are individuals in the collective? We're many members, but there's yet one body. We're under the body of Jesus Christ. So if your head hurting, I'm using an analogy here, I should feel your headache. What I mean by that, if there's something going on in the body of Christ, we shouldn't be beating up the other individual in the body of Christ. Remember? We shouldn't be tearing down them. We should be building up one another in love. But we get so excited excited to see somebody torn down. We get, oh, they lost their church. Oh, you know, girl, I figured they'd go lose that church. But the what? That's a person in the body. That's a person in the body. Where's your love for the member of the body? You don't cut off your toe because you're excited over them losing their church. That's a member of the body. Why are we doing this in the body of Jesus Christ? Why are we so quick to be happy when a member in the body of Christ has a downfall? What's wrong with you? We should be sad. We should be saying, oh, I need to pray. I got to pray. I got a Lord, love on them. I knew, child, I knew they was going to fall, honey. I knew it was just a matter of time. You see why? Because you can't do wrong and think God's going to bless your wrong. But we are not. He is the righteous judge. He is the righteous judge. And we've all felt guilty of speaking some foolishness. But when you know better, you do better. When you know better, you do better. Now you got to love on them. Love on them. Well, child, I ain't loving on nobody. They shouldn't have left. What? That's not on us. That's between them and Father. We got to get this in the body of Christ. I'm an advocate. I'm a true advocate about you staying in your assigned seat. I'm an advocate about staying in your assigned seat. Because I know what my Father has told me years ago. You got to stay in your assigned seat. But if somebody moves out of their assigned seat, we can't get mad because they moved from their assigned seat. We got to keep telling others, look, you got to stay in your seat. Because timing is everything. But, okay, that don't mean I don't love them. That don't mean I don't embrace them. That don't mean I don't want to say, yes, I love you. But you know, child, I ain't going there. I don't have no problem fellowshipping with them. Because you know what? It ain't about me. But when we make it so much about ourselves, and then the Church of Jesus Christ can't grow because we become selfish individuals. Oh, they owe me an apology. That's between them and Jesus. We got to stop doing that to one another. We're many members, but we all are on the body of Jesus Christ. We got to stop doing that to one another. Hallelujah. You got to go correct, do it right, and God's going to help you. God's going to bless you. Don't get mad at your leader or whomever, and you're so mad I'm leaving the church without saying, you know what, I may not agree with some things, but, you know, I'm going to pray about this. Hallelujah. You know, if Father's telling you, okay, you got to go, okay, I got to be obedient. If Father's telling you that, not your flesh because you're mad, okay? And he said or she said something that offended you, and you know actually they were really telling you the truth, but you didn't want to handle that. You didn't want to deal with that, so I'm going to go. And then you go to another church, and they tell you the exact same thing. How many churches are you going to run to? How many churches are you going to run away from because you don't want to deal with you? Oh, coming up in here. I'm still telling the truth. Is it God or man? Which one are you going to? What's your decision? What you going to do? It's up to you. And God's saying, all I want you to do is just live right. Love right. See, we think, okay, yeah, the vertical. This is me and God. Okay, me and God. That's, look at the cross. You got the cross, you got the going, okay, this is vertical. Then you got horizontal. You know what Father's looking at? How are your arms reaching out to help somebody else? How are your arms reaching out? Remember I told you to do what? Take up my cross and follow me daily. How are you reaching out? I know you love me. Oh, you go, woo. Oh, the worship songs are beautiful. You just, oh, I'm all into God. I'm into God. But what about this? What are your arms doing on the outside? How are you reaching and touching the other believers? How are you reaching and witnessing to other people? What are you doing? Oh, I'm not going to talk to them. You know, I don't deal with those people. What the? What? What you just saying? I don't deal with those people. You're talking about your brothers and sisters in the body, and you think, I don't deal with those people? You're part of the body, right? You are a part of the body of Jesus Christ, right? You are, you did accept him as your personal Savior. You did come into the body, and you're now saved, and you say, I don't deal with those people. What's wrong with you? It's not our place to do anything but love on people. It's not our place to do anything but embrace people. So what? So what? God is looking at your love. You can't say you love people and you pick and choose who you want to love. We can't do that in the body of Christ. We can't see a sister, brother, ask them, how you doing? But then over, oh, girl, oh, I just, oh, give me a hug. What? What? You can't do that. Don't be fake. I can't stand fake. Don't be fake. Be true. Be real. Be righteous. Be righteous. Be righteous. Be a pure in heart individual. Only the pure in heart shall see God. Be that individual.